I had like two options. I was thinking, I mean, this what I'm planning on doing for these monthly sessions is to try to add to what you learn here. If perhaps you might be interested in just learning a different piece, you know, after this, could go on. But for this session, I want to spend some time on Moda Ani, just some insights on Moda Ani, and to go over a little bit the Bracha Valentil Shadaim, some of the different issues, the different opinions, and to discuss. Hello. Okay. So first of all, when and this is like, I want this to be sort of interactive. So I get curious what your thoughts are. So do you remember when Moda Ani started? Like when is that? What's that text from? You remember what that text was from? Like, is this an old text? Is this a relatively new text? I'm not sure. It's a relatively new text, right?
Seder Hayom,
right. So when is that from? What source is that? Where is that?
It's before source one.
That's before source
Seder
one.
Seder Hayom. I don't think they give us.
Okay. So Seder Hayom. Okay. So Seder Hayom. So this is Rav Moshe ben Rav Yehuda ibn Machir. He was a rabbi in Sfat in the 16th century. Okay. So Moda Ani is a 16th century creation. And so how was Moda Ani created? Like why do you think he created this text? Why do you think he created this text, Moda Ani? Like, is it based on something? Yeah.
I mean, maybe based on the sources, it was so that when we wake up, first thing when we arise, we could say something that didn't have Shem Hashem in it.
Right. Good. No. Good. Excellent. Right. So the goal was, so the Gemara does say, the Gemara in Brachos says that we do a whole bunch of things in the days. In the Gemara, actually, you know, the Birchos HaShachar that we recite, you know, we recite them all together. So it's actually interesting. The days of the Gemara, they would actually recite the bracha as they perform the action. So when they would get dressed, you say Malbisha Rumin. Mm-hmm. When you would, put on a belt, you say Ozei So Bigvura. There was a different action associated with the particular bracha. And it said when you wake up, you say Elokai Neshama Shnasata Bitorahi. But really, since our hands are not clean at that moment, so we say Moda Ani without Shem Hashem. So I want to spend some time, just a little bit, just some thoughts on Moda Ani. So what do you think when we say Moda Ani, so what is that like? So what's the inner experience that we should feel when we say Moda Ani? Like,
gratitude.
Okay, one thing is gratitude. What else maybe? Any other thoughts other than gratitude? I think gratitude is the primary one because Moda Ani is thank you. And it's the Inyan Diyoma, Thanksgiving, so you know.
Hashem
has emunah in us. Okay, so right. So that's important. We'll talk about. That's interesting, right? I'm going to talk about that. Like, does Rabba Munasecha mean we have trust in Hashem, we have trust in us? That's an interesting, you know, double take on that. So one aspect, I think, is, you're right, that in other words, it's gratitude, just the... I don't only have the sources related to what you've done, but the Beis Yosef, that's Rav Yosef Cairo, he says that, right, we're made into a bria every morning, we're like a new creation, and therefore, tzrichim anu lahodos lo yisparach al shebranu lichvodo. Therefore, we need to thank God for creating us. So I think one aspect of Moda Ani is Thanksgiving. I think there's what else?
A sense of renewal. Not only just for waking up, you know,
right.
for the ability to wake up.
So how do we feel? So how should we feel when we
like a rebirth?
Yeah, so, right.
It's a connection.
It's about, right. Yeah, so it's interesting. The first halacha, if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, okay, you open up a Shulchan Aruch or a Mishnah Berurah, and you read the very first siman, like the very first section, the very first seif, the first thing that you're supposed to do according to the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Yiskaber ka'ari la'amod ba'boker la'avodos boro. That you're supposed to wake up like a lion. And not everyone does that when they're like, they put snooze on their life. I'm guilty of that as well, okay? So you're supposed to, that the very, very first halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, is it a halacha? Is it an attitude? Okay. But he tells you the first thing he's supposed to do in the morning, Yiskaber ka'ari la'amod ba'boker la'avodos boro. Right? Shehu morer hashachar. You're supposed to wake up the morning. And he says, ki lakach He says, Ki lakach nivra ha'ad, that Mishnah Berurah says, because that's why we were created. We should wake up like a lion. And what's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav was written, it was a halachic sefer, written by Rav Shneur Zalman Vayadi, the first Chabad Rebbe. The first Chabad Rebbe was not only an expert in mysticism, he's famous for writing the Tanya, which is a mystical work, but he was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot, and it's called Shulchan Aruch Harav. And in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he says, you should wake up, he says, Vitov, he writes the following, he starts off and he says, Umiyad, he says, Umiyad sheyis ora mishnah so, and immediately when he wakes up from his sleep, Kedeshol Yachzer V'Yishon, so he doesn't go back to sleep. Yargil es atzmo lihisbonei miyad lifnei mihu shochev. So he says, when you wake up, so that you don't fall back asleep, you should accustom yourself to understand immediately lifnei mihu shochev. Who are you sleeping in front of? Lifnei melech malchi amlochim akadosh baruch hu. So like right away when you wake up, you're like, I'm going, wait a second, oh, there's God, right? So that's shakasuv, right? So he cites the pasuk, and then he says, v'tov lahargil atzmo lomar miyad. And it's good to accustom himself to say immediately, shenior, immediately when he wakes up, nusach zed, this text, say this line, and through this, he will remember God, Hanitzav Alav, who is, as it were, standing, you know, who's like, you know, the God is there, present, and he'll wake up with alacrity. So in other words, it's an alarm, the line of Modeani is like an alarm clock, yeah?
Just as a clarification, so the Reishit Chochmah portion that's,
right.
That's not part of
that's separate. Thing. I haven't looked into that. I'm not prepared to. No, it's a good question. Like, I have to look at the you know where that came from. But that's separate than Modani. Modani seems to be a derivative, like you said. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. We mentioned that you saw in this, the source you saw. That's it's a lokai neshama without God's name. But I think there are two aspects. We think on the one hand it's like gratitude, but another one is like you wake up, you see Modani, you think about, oh God, I gotta get up now. I gotta be Yiskaber Kari. So I think you have both of those elements in this one line of Modani. So I wanna just a few things about Modani that I find interesting. So, you know, this famous, I think I've seen a lot of people say this. I think Rabbi Sachs mentioned this. I have this quote from Rabbi Shimshon David Pinkus, like, you know, you have the word modeh before the word ani. Mm. You've heard that word before, right? Mm. The idea is like, you know, before the language is that, you've heard this before, some of you have heard this before, hamila rishana hi modeh, right? The first thing you say when you wake up is gratitude. L'seith l'kadosh baruch hu esarega hazeh, to give it to God, this idea, l'hodos, to thank kilo ani zon bila rishana ela modeh, right? Modeh is first. By the way, also the word anochi is much more I as opposed to ani. Anochi is much stronger than I. And what's interesting is you say modeh ani, right? The word lefanecha, like what does that connote? I'm sure when you think about that, like so modeh is hoda'a. Why do you have to say lefanecha? You can say modeh ani melech havikayim. I thank God the King. What's lefanecha?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you remember, think about these things exactly. Very good. So the Ramah says, very good. So after Yiskaber Kari, so the Shulchan Aruch says Yiskaber Kari la voda vodas boro. So the Ramah, right, adds Shivisi Hashem. The very first simon, the very first if Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. Who clog a doba Torah? Right, this is the cheesy Miami Boys choir song. He's singing. Okay, maybe I'll put it on.
Miami Boys.
Was it? Oh, was she a boys? Who was it?
No, it was a singer that was
fine. Oh, it's Willie Williger, yeah, no? Okay, yeah. Fine. So, okay. maybe I'll put it on TikTok. Okay, sorry. Okay, so anyway, but I think he was older when he sang it. Yeah, okay. So anyway, Shivisa Shabli Nagdi Tamid. No, but the other one, Yiskaber Kari was also.
Yes,
that was my boys cry. That was really okay. Fine. Okay, I'm correct. Okay. So that's lefanecha, right? In the morning, now we have greater kavana, right? I'm going to wake up, and then lefanecha is the feeling of shivisi Hashem. Lenegdi Tamid, Hukla Gadoba Torva Malos HaTzadik, Mishachim Fei Elokim, because you have to feel that you are, you know, in front of a living God who is part of your life. And then the idea is, you know, Bechemla, you know, this idea with mercy. So that's the idea that I think, you know, we wake up hopefully rejuvenated. And then Rabba Munasecha, I think what you know, there are two ways. The standard understanding of Rabba Munasecha is that we have faith in God. Maybe every night when we go to sleep, we're going to wake up in the morning. And also we have faith that we'll have a good day. Or it could be Rabba Munasecha that God, we're happy that God has faith in us because we're the ones who.
Right. It's interesting because you would think the faith goes the other way, right? Where before I go to sleep, I have faith that I'm going to wake up. When you wake up, of course you have faith that you have now woken up.
Right.
It's not
you said, kind of
like the opposite.
Right. So it could be a faith you're going to have a good day. Like the Sefer Tale Oros, he writes, "B'chol yom nigzar baboker al kol ma she'asid lios bosayom." Every day in the morning, there's a decree of what's going to be in the future. So he's probably bothered by your question. So therefore he's saying, it's not that I just woke up, but it's something, you know, in the future. But it could be that, you know, we're expressing the fact that God, even if we had a bad day yesterday, so every day God has faith in us that we can do great things, you know, in the next day, the next morning.
That might be why we need chemla. Like that reminds us how much we totally dependent on God's mercy.
Right. We always.
During the day.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, so that's my brief thing on Moda Ani. Anyone have any thoughts on Moda Ani when they're reading it?
Like totally not super Torah related.
Okay.
It's interesting that it comes from the 16th century. I wonder if probably.
Right.
It wasn't as much something to take for granted that you were going to wake up the next day.
Oh, okay.
You know, I imagine that know, lifespan was shorter and people died all the time. Right. And I wonder like how much of this was born out of that.
So it's interesting. So there was to add to the creepiness. So there was a Rabbi Soloveitchik, there was a bracha of the Birkat HaShachar that Rabbi Soloveitchik did not say. And there was a bracha of Hanosen Layov Koach, that God gives us strength. So they give strength to those who are weary. So what's the base of this? So the Gemara lists, again, a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of brachos that you're supposed to recite in the morning related to certain actions that you're supposed to do, plus, you know, a few other brachos. Hanosein Layov Koach is not recorded in the Gemara at all. So that was added. What?
I actually love that bracha.
Okay.
I really relate to it.
It's good. No. So no. Let me explain to you. So that, no. So I'm saying to Dor Hanna's point, so Rav Soloveitchik is very traditional. So he would only, you know, quote, he would only recite brachos. Okay. So he would only recite brachos, that were according to the Gemara. However, this bracha was added. So we're sometimes exhausted, but I think this was added because of in the Middle Ages, an Ashkenazic Jewry who had, you know, Sephardic Jewry had a little bit easier until they were expelled. But before that, Ashkenazic Jewry, so they added that. It's actually the Ramah adds that bracha, or he cites, pins adds the bracha. I don't think it's in the Shulchan Aruch, but I think that was actually added because of the precarious situation, like spiritual weariness that we're saying.
Was there then like kind of a because this idea right before as what you were talking about before that like you say Elokeinu Shema and then you say the brachot as you're kind of going through these actions and that kind of was done away with when there was this idea that like everyone's tamei and we don't want to say Hashem's name before washing Mesilat Yadayim, right?
So let me correct that.
Okay.
So the Gemara said that when you wake up, you say Elokeinu Shema.
Right.
Theoretically, I think you're correct a little bit. Like I'm saying, I think it's that, like some of these things, when you wake up, you're definitely, your hands are not clean, unless you have, you know, the washing station, you know, right by, which some people, I think, I don't know if these talk about it yet. But some of these other things you could have done, other than, you know, mamash when you wake up, you could have washed. But you are correct. I think there are two reasons. The Shulchan Aruch writes that number one is now that people's hands weren't clean. So like, and also because, not everyone knew all the brachos.
Right.
So to create a sort of standardized, I wouldn't do it together.
So Elokeinu Shema though, in particular, you would have said.
Right away.
Right away. So before the 16th century, when Moda'ani was introduced, it's not like everyone was not tummy before that. You know, like, was there a period of time where people just weren't saying anything when they woke up?
Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch, which is beforehand, right? That's before, a little bit before. I have to look at the history a little bit, but already there's this, there's already a move to say it all together. So maybe Moda'ani, interesting, I have to think about it, you know, followed that along that same line to provide something, you know, for that. But there was this kind of, there was a kind of shift really, because there are different types of brachos, right? There's a bracha on, there's what's called, you know, there's like a, it really was transformed from like a bracha on a particular action to a general praise, right? To like just a general praise to God for everything, versus, you know, am I doing this particular action? So there was this transition for the reasons I think people didn't know the prayers. And number two, because, like you said, people's hands weren't clean. But that's interesting. Maybe that was connected. Yes.
Hands not clean in the 16th century, but they were clean beforehand.
No. So what I'm saying is that because so I think there's more urgency to create something when you wake up. You can't say a L'kayin Hashem when you wake up because your hands aren't clean. For other things, you probably can wash your hands and then get dressed and then put on a belt and then sit up. Like there are other things you might be able to do. You know, you can wash your hands before doing other things, which create the obligation to recite the other brachos, right?
But why did they put that there?
What?
What about the evil spirit?
You mean the ruach ra for washing? So we'll talk about that in a second. I would say that, yeah. No, so that's another element to that. What? So that right? There are three reasons. That we'll get to the washing. Right, there are three reasons: the Rosh, the Rashba, and the Zohar. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
It seems like, I don't know if this was exactly what you were saying, but it sounds to me like there was a point where there was a shift that happened.
Yeah.
Where in earlier days, people would wake up and say, like it says right here, that the Rambam says that, and then the Gemara, it says that you wake up and you say Elokai Neshama, which suggested that people would wake up and they would say this, but then the Shulchan Aruch says, well, now because our hands are clean, we shouldn't say that.
Because so probably
a shift that happened where all of a sudden it's like, now we wake up and
right.
Our hands
are clean. Probably what happened is that there was this ideal situation. There was this like idealized situation, and then there was a reality that a lot of people may. So the question is, do you think
that in the time of the Talmud, people were waking up like
probably
pure and
probably some were and some weren't.
Well, maybe there was no.
It sounds like they kept track of it. Like they knew what their status.
Yeah, but you also have to understand, like, it's a big shift. There were two shifts going on here. By the way. So there's one shift in terms of the timing. I didn't prepare for this, I'll send it something to the chat. But I believe that there are two shifts, by the way, that are going on here. Number one is the timing of Birchos HaShachar, right? When you're doing it. And the second shift, where there's a major debate in the Rishon, right? And I forgot who says what, which is, what if you don't do the action? Right? I don't know, what if you don't wear a belt during that day? So do you make the bracha of Ozer Yisrael Bigvura? Mm-hmm. Right? So,
like, what if you're not?
If you're blind, like, you make the bracha for, so, right. So that's a sot, like, that's a, right. That's another interesting question, right? So I'm saying the idea, so, like, it's interesting. So once the Birchos HaShachar was standardized, it became like a general blessing, then perhaps even if you don't do the action, you also make the bracha. So I don't know, like, I have to look, I'll try to look and I'll try to write something on the chat in terms of when it shifted, when we see it start shifting. But it's not an easy thing to shift because you're really changing the nature of a bracha. From being one where you do an action to a general praise. And that's like, it's not so simple to do.
It feels to me like it's a philosophical shift, right? Where like tefillah once upon a time was very like, it was a very like interactive, intentional,
right.
Like we
right.
know what we're saying and why,
right.
Because we're saying it as we do.
Well, not tefillah at all,
and
but
then
that, but,
because, well, right. Yeah. Certainly for, you know, for the bracha, but like, then it becomes a standardized thing. And this is a philosophical shift where now, like, we say it no matter what. And like,
right. So, but again, I think the philosophical shift was because of necessity, because they were, I'm not right. I don't know. Right. I agree with you.
I think that these things always happen because of necessity, but right. there's something that you're missing when you do that.
Right.
So maybe yeah. it's for the masses now. As people got more and more knowledgeable, more and more people started saying it. You had to make it.
Maybe, right.
And also, seriously, with the water, I mean, Lily was pointing out, but maybe there really wasn't water accessible.
Maybe.
So
okay.
You
right.
had to get up and go down the, you know, right. to the well to get the water.
Right.
So you just said the.
Right.
And then as people were able to wash more accessibly, the idea became that, you know, you don't say this without washing.
It's interesting because I don't know if it's the same thing with brachot, but like even Chazar HaShatz and a lot of those kinds of
right.
things developed because people were illiterate and didn't have
right.
the opportunity to daven on their own.
Right.
And it sounds like with brachot too, like you can go to shul and just say amen, 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 amen
right.
if you're not saying them yourself. Now people really can do all of this stuff by themselves. Most of the, I mean, like we're
right.
all literate, we could do it by ourselves, but we still do it that way
right.
because at some point it shifted and we just haven't gone back.
Right. So, okay. So what makes Birchos HaShachar interesting is that, so like if Chazal established a rule, right? So it's very hard to, you can't undo what, it's very hard to undo. Although I should point out that the, I can't do this. But the Rambam got rid of Chazar HaShachar because there was too much talking. I'm telling you that. He got rid of Chazar. Yes, there's a tshuva of the Rambam. So the Chazar HaShachar was created. So by the way, you know, so it's interesting, like, okay, so that side point, but let's say, you know, like it used to be like in YU, so like depending on the shir you went to, like they had shir, then they would have mincha in the shir room. So depending on the shir you went to, some of them did what's called like Hecha Kedusha, where basically they didn't do the full Chazar HaShachar, they just, the Baal Tefillah would say the first three brachot, say Kedusha, because, you know, shir would run late, and then they would, but the question is, what would you do about like, so, but there's still Chazar HaShachar, like, so it's running late, big deal. So it could be that the formulation, the way the Gzeira was created, or the Takana was created for Clarissa Shatz, that was in a base Knesset setting, but not base Knesset. So I'm saying, so that could be like how the Takana was formulated. So it's hard to do that. What's fascinating about the philosophical shift in Birchos HaShachar, which I think was caused by, because of pragmatic concerns, so they created that. But what's fascinating is that, like, that change was post-Chazal, which is interesting. That's what I find fascinating. Like, I'm saying it's not that typical to do such a shift in the, you know, again, so they said, okay, there's still blessings of praise, and I'm saying it's very unique. You don't have these kind of shifts taking place, you know, after Chazal. It's a little fluid. That's what I find interesting about it. But, okay. So that is, Modeani. Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts? Yeah, you know anything?
I came late, so I don't
it's okay.
Care, so I don't,
it's
okay. If we say that there's, now we say Elokei Neshama when we wake up.
Right.
I've wondered this for a long time.
I mean, Modeani when we wake up.
Then what was the
Elokei Neshama? No, Elokei Neshama is the times of the Gemara.
They would say it when they wake up?
Yeah.
Well, that's still, either way, it goes with my question. In some Nosachs, you have Elokei Neshama at the very beginning of the Siddur. And some
stuff
you have it like after
Matzavu and Adon Olam. Oh, okay, good. Okay, right. So there's another question.
Nosach Sfard has Elokeinu Shaman Berkot
HaTorah,
and that seems to make more sense.
Yes, yeah.
And it seems to make more sense to me because if you think about it, Matovu is Psukim from the Torah,
right?
And so why wouldn't you first say Berkot HaTorah and then read Matovu? So that's a different question. But I'm saying like all these preliminary things and then go into that. Whereas
Okay, so you did a lot of stuff. Okay, so I think Matovu. So there's a question.
It's okay. And then everything else.
All right. So there's a Matovu you say when you go to shul. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the origin of that. We're supposed to go to shul, right? Adon Olam and Yigdal. That could be any time because that's just like important principles of faith that you're saying. There's a general question whether you have to recite Berachos HaTorah before saying psukim in the context of tefillah. That's like a question. We try to recite Berachos HaTorah before we recite even psukim, not in the context, even psukim in the context of tefillah. right?
So then why?
So we try, but some say no, but some will not. So I think like the firmer sidurim. I don't know. I don't know. What is the Koran have? Elokeinu Shema is totally fine.
No.
You can have brachot. You can have brachot before Birkas Torah. No, you can have brachot before Birkas Torah. The question is, do you have Birkos HaTorah before Matovu?
In the Koran, they have the Birkot HaTorah before Matovu. Right.
Yeah. Good, so it's a front center. There we go. Koran's from.
But in the art scroll, which is the...
I think they changed. The early art scroll, later art scroll. I think a different one. Then there's a separate question. So, okay, now there's that's one issue. The second issue is, Elokeinu Shema, should it have an opening... Should Elokeinu Shema start with Baruch Atah Hashem? I'm saying a lot of things here. So which brachos? Okay, you didn't learn this, but maybe we'll learn tomorrow. But which brachos are you supposed to start with Baruch Atah Hashem, and which brachos do you not? So one of the theories. So that's not the only one. So one of the answers to that question of why Elokeinu Shema. Which obviously doesn't answer the Gemara because it's the first thing you say in the morning. And some say it's actually connected to Hamapil when you say at night. So there's some who say that. But okay, like guys, why is Elokeinu Shema not start with Baruch Atah Hashem? So does it connect with Hamapil? You slept and you said, is that connected for, okay, it's a little hard to say. Some say it's just, one of the reasons why, once we're saying Elokeinu Shema later, not when you wake up. So there is an advantage to saying it after another bracha, there's an advantage to saying Elokeinu Shema after another bracha, so you don't start with Baruch Atah Hashem. So, some people say, I myself do this, I say it after Asher Yatzar, because I think Mr. Bruce says, I'm not sure what he quotes, that Asher Yatzar is your blessing Hashem for what? For your body. And Elokeinu Shema, Yifashev, for your soul.
In the art school, it is.
Right. That's why they do it. So that's why they do that. So they have two different issues. The one issue is saying psukim before Birchas HaTorah. So that's one issue. And the other issue is Elokeinu Shema. The question is, why don't you start with Baruch Atah Hashem? And there are different answers to the question. One answer to the question is that it's what's called a bracha hasmucha lechaverta. One bracha that's next to, if you, like, for example, Shemot Esrei, right? The first bracha of Shemot Esrei starts with Baruch Atah Hashem, and the subsequent brachas don't start with Baruch Atah Hashem. Why is that?
Because they're
all connected. It's a unit of brachos. That's why in benching, the first bracha starts with Baruch Atah Hashem, the subsequent brachas do not start Baruch Atah Hashem, except for what? The bracha v'tov v'meitiv, which starts with Baruch Atah Hashem. Why? Anyone know why? Because that's midrabbanan, that's rabbinic. So therefore, it's not part of the original unit. Benching is called, in the Mishnah, it's called shalosh brachos. Because there are only three brachos of benching, initially. There's the three. Hatov v'meitiv is after. So that's a bracha smuchal chaverta.
Okay? So people stop after that one.
After Ayichas Reidu?
Yeah.
Oh, and not to the Harachmans? That's a later edition. That's just like nice things to say.
But they add that one edition. It's like the one.
No, Harachmans, that's not a bracha.
No, just, before Harachmans.
No, the Hatova Metiv, that's rabbinic.
Right, but that's...
It's a machlokes, but according to one opinion, that's kind of a standard view, that's it's vain in the Gemara. But
it's like an in-between.
It's rabbinic. It's the rabbis. In other words, benching, right? So you have to thank God, right? So what do you have to thank Him for? So it seems, according to the Mishnah, it seems the dominant view is that you thank God for the food, you thank God for Eretz Yisrael, whatever you say, Noda, you thank God for Rachim, although Rachim right now is a have mercy, right? Because Rachim was a different text originally. In other words,
the basis was standing,
we didn't say Rachim, we didn't say Vnei Yushalayim. Originally, it was a bracha Thanksgiving, and it got transformed after the basis was destroyed. And then, right, so you had those three, and then some say after the failed Bar Kochor bowl, and they bury the dead, so they added that bracha Vatov Vavetiv. Okay, so anyway, that's bracha Smuklaverta. Okay. So we have a few more minutes, 10 minutes. 10 minutes is good. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to. Okay. So I just want to talk about. So let's just focus with what the last thing. This you learned a lot of Alantil Shadayim. So there are three reasons for Alantil Shadayim, right? Three reasons why we wash our hands, right? So what are the three reasons? What? So Ruach Ra'ah is Zohar. Yeah, what else?
Tumah.
What is Tumah? What does that mean, Tumah? What does that mean?
Having touched impure things. So like,
what, what's
right?
Impure?
If you've touched parts of your body that
okay,
are...
Okay, so it's actually right. It's actually like, it's like dirt, really. It's yeah, like, it's unclean. Dirt. And we call it dirt. They're like, we call it Tumah, but it's really like a form of lichluk. Another, it's really like sweaty things. So it's like, the rabbis called it a form of Tumah, but it's really like dirty. Okay, so what does that mean? So therefore every morning, right? So one is because our hands are right, our hands got dirty, and we are in order to prepare for tefillah, our hands need to be clean. That's the rush, right? That was one of the sources. Mm-hmm. That our hands need to be clean before tefillah. Another one is we wake up in the morning like a new creature, so renew. So by the way, if you think about it, they're totally different models. So one is like Tumah Tahara, that's the Rosh. The Rashba is like Kodesh and Chol. You're like the Kohen doing the Avoda in the Mikdash. They're models, like they're two different models in terms of how you understand. One is like, you know, and that's why, you know, you need a Kli, like the Kohen who uses the Kli.
And then the Ruach Ra
is the Zohar. So that's a third reason. So, yeah?
Don't the Tumah Tahara and the getting ready for the Avodah Tefillah overlap?
Right, so they could overlap, but the Zohar's Ruach Ra is really like it's dangerous, okay? And therefore, you know, you can't touch, you know, you might be dangerous. Yeah. So now there's the Rosh writes, it's in preparation for tefillah, your hands need to be clean. The Rashba says, you got to be like a Kohen, wake up in the morning, so you wash your hands. The Zohar really feels it's dangerous.
Is that Tum'ah or uncleanliness coming from having
sucked
or having touched something?
So that's it. So there's actually a debate about this. I don't think it was your sources, but the Beis Yosef basically says that. So the big Shaila, what if you're up all night? Do you have this Ruach Ra? Was it in there or not?
Yeah.
Is it the night or the sleeping that causes Ruach Ra? That's a debate there. But basically you have three different, I just want to read you what Rav Hirsch writes. It's beautiful language here. It says, the washing of hands upon awakening in the morning, in addition to its sanitary importance, also serves to dedicate our hands and through them our whole physical being, which merely vegetated. During the hours of sleep for a life of renowned active service of God. Similarly, the priest had to consecrate himself for divine service in the temple by washing his hands. Such a sanctifying washing of the hands is called in Tilat Yadayim. The hands are lifted up, as it were, from the level of lower, purely physical nature to their higher moral purpose. So just a couple of differences. So like, I'll give you an example. So let's say, do you have to wash your hands, let's say, before you daven mincha? And some women daven, some don't. Mm-hmm. So you have to wash your hands before mincha.
There was an opinion that, yeah.
According right. to the Kohen, right. Right. So, opinion, yes.
Right.
Probably, but not the
No. The opposite. The opposite. No. The Rosh. So you see, you took them up. So the Rashba says when you wake up every morning, it's like you're ready to do the Avodah.
Yeah, okay.
But I understand what you're saying. So the Rosh who says it's for tefillah, that every tefillah you should wash your hands. According to the Rashba, it's a morning thing that you don't have to wash your hands. That's why we try to wash our hands, but without a bracha, because it's suffik bracha lahakel.
The tefillah reason, though, is that related to lichluch specifically?
Yeah, it's lichluch. That's what the Rosh writes.
And so there's.
He says tumah, but it's really tumah's
lichluch. Accumulating that over the course of the day,
correct.
Regardless of whether we're awake or asleep.
Correct.
Isn't
correct.
There a concern, though, like at mincha time, that the same concern that you have in the morning, that you might have touched something like your hair, your feet, your
No, I understand. So it's exactly. Yeah. So that's why, according to the Rosh, you have to wash your hands. But according to the Rashba, who says that what necessitates you washing hands is the new morning, it's the day, so you don't have to wash your hands. So since there's a doubt, we wash. But whenever there's a doubt, we wash without a bracha. So I'll finish with this. I'll finish with this piece. And another question also, just one other thing is, you know, if you you daven first, you forgot you wash your hands, then you wash afterwards. So according to the Rashba, you would have to wash because you still have to wash first thing in the morning. But according to the Rosh, it's not for tefillah, mm-hmm. So you'd wash without a bracha. You know, if you stayed up all night, So if you stay up all night, so what we do is we touch our shoes, we touch something dirty, so we go to the bathroom. Yeah. So that we're, so on the one hand, it's new morning, and also
how come they say if you can't wash your hands, you can like rub them on wood or something?
Yeah,
like
it's really weird.
So, they used to tell us.
Yeah. No. So we say that it cleans a little. I said, why don't you use soap also?
But so like the wood. What is
no. So the old days, if there was dirt, so you'd wash on something solid. To clear.
There's nothing special about wood.
There's not wood. It could be a stone. It could be a wall. It could be anything. Yeah. So last thing I want to do, I want to explain. Did you all understand Rabbi Willig what he said to do? Do you understand what he said?
What did he say?
So Rabbi Willig said like this. Yeah, this is what he said. I actually started doing it. It was funny. I was learning this, and the title I'd learned this thing before is like, you know, Rabbi Willig is Itzik Shita. And then I saw it. It was in there. So basically what he says is the following. He's concerned. See, he says, if you wash your hands, this will finish with this. He says that if you wash your hands first thing in the morning, then probably you're going to shower afterwards, or you're going to touch your shoes or whatever, so then you're going to have to wash your hands again for davening, right? So he says, when you first wash your hands, how can you make a, you know, that's, you're not really fulfilled, like, so are you filling the mitzvah or not? So what he wants to do, he wants to create a scenario where you're washing your hands according to everyone. There's a question: do you wash your hands right when you wake up, or do you wash your hands right before you daven? So what should you do? So what he says to do is you first wash your hands without a kli. So you just put your hands, you know, three times each way, and that way you get rid of the faucet, because then you're not yotze according to the Rashba, the Rush, because you're not using a kli. So
you
say,
why does the Rush think that you need a kli at all?
Okay, that's what he holds. I understand what you're saying. He said that's what he holds, called the tilas. But I'm not sure why he says that.
On the same as for the bread, is that why?
Yeah, it could right, probably why. That's right. But sometimes when they create halachos, they're modeling after. You're right. They're modeling after, let's say, washing for a meal. So the Zohar is just like, we got this ruach ra here. So that's why Willig, what he does, he says, so you do, you put your hands under the faucet. So then you're done with the ruach ra. And then he says, but only wash your hands right before, after you get dressed, you shower, you get dressed, and then right before you're ready to daven. Because if you wash your hands first with the kli, it's probably not going to be good, because you probably have to wash your hands again, because you probably touch your shoes. Okay.
But again, like that, you know, okay, only works like when you have running water.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, I understand.
Obviously relevant today, but like.
Yeah. No. He's just saying nowadays. What I was saying, he's just being creative. Like, he's trying to be yotzei all the opinions. Yeah, right. So the old days, you had either going to be a Rush person or you're a Rush bumpers. Right. You do one or the other. So he found a creative way to do the Zohar and to follow every opinion. Yeah, last question.
Why really yotze all of the methods if he's first walking to a faucet? Because you're getting up to a faucet.
Yeah, so that's another issue in terms of, are we possibly, like, yeah. So that's a separate question, which is...
That like eliminates a whole factor that...
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but in terms of, there are two definitions for the Zohar. Number one is, don't touch, if you're concerned about touching, you know, your eyes or different things before you wash. So that you could still do. And then the second question, which is, you know, is the whole house like Dalai Lama's or not? And which raises an interesting question, though, is, to what extent do we pass through like the Zohar, which is a very fascinating question. There's a very fascinating question, which is like in general, like where do we use the Paskin? Like, do we Paskin from Agadata? Do we Paskin from Zohar? And like different Poskim will say, well, let's say if there's no conflicting Gemaras, then maybe we will. And what's the authority? So that goes into this question as well. But I want to, yeah. But we're going to stop here. We're going to go down.